Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage contrasts wisdom and folly. Wisdom invites the simple to come and eat of her bread and drink of her wine, promising life to whomever listens. In contrast, folly is like a loud and seductive woman who calls to passers-by, inviting them to eat stolen bread and drink stolen water. She promises pleasure, but her way leads to death. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 9 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of this chapter.
Proverbs chapter 9, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in here. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, you alone shall bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And so this chapter contains contrasting personifications of wisdom, the first 12 verses, and then folly, verses 13 through 18. And each section consists of the description of a woman who was identified as wisdom in verses 1 through 3, or folly in verses 13 through 15. Each woman issues a call to the simple, wisdom in verse 4, folly in verse 16. Each woman sends an invitation to eat or dine, wisdom in verse 5, folly in verse 17. And then at the end of the chapter, there's a statement about which invitation will lead the people who listen to either wisdom or folly. You want to choose the path of wisdom, for sure. For 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, mankind is being exposed to two sources of wisdom. That's it. Two sources of wisdom. There's the wisdom of God, which is the narrow path that leads to life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's the wisdom of this world that has no regard for God, for the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. It's been said that in the college of God's wisdom, the only tuition required is simply the desire to be wise. And the older that you get in life, and the more that you grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus, you realize how much more critical having godly wisdom is in life. Our nation is filled with fine institutions, universities, that can give you a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. But knowledge and information to get by in this life is simply not enough. And that is not in any way, shape, or form to minimize the importance of a good education or proper knowledge. Paul was very well educated in the school of his day. Luke was a doctor. But knowledge may provide you with facts, but you need godly wisdom in order to know how to apply the facts. The world has plenty of knowledge, but what we need is the knowledge of the Holy One, the knowledge of God. The world can provide a person with the knowledge to put a man on the moon, but lack the wisdom to abstain from inhaling or drinking or watching things with these caution labels on them. There are 234 references to the word wisdom in Scripture. 54 of those 234 references are found here in the book of Proverbs. And so, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Now, you're going to see she and her throughout this chapter. And that's the feminine gender. And here it's attached to godly wisdom. Many Bible scholars suggest that the feminine gender suggests the oft-overlooked attribute of the tenderness of God. The tenderness of God. There are many commentators that see in this sevenfold wisdom that are spoken of here as a reflection of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, where we find seven aspects of wisdom. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. One, the Spirit of wisdom. Two, understanding. Three, the Spirit of counsel. Four, the Spirit of might. Five, the Spirit of knowledge. Six, the fear of the Lord. And seven, it shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. The number seven in Scripture speaks of perfection. It speaks of completeness. And it has been pointed out that it is only when we choose to walk in the wisdom of God that our lives are complete or our lives are whole. The Family Bible Study Note says this: they who listen to the wisdom of God shall receive from her an abundance of all good things, every spiritual blessing. But they who refuse to hear her voice must perish in the greatness of their folly. You see, the wisdom of this world, though fallen, may at times be able to solve an immediate problem. But the wisdom that comes from God addresses the root cause of the problem, and it stops it from happening. A big difference. Wisdom has builded her house. There's a house prepared for those who seek it. And the invitation from God is there for you and me tonight to come and to partake of it. As I mentioned a moment ago, there's only two kinds of wisdom revealed in Scripture. There is no third source of wisdom. There is no kingdom of gray. There is no third gender. There's two sources of wisdom. James chapter 3 says in verse 13 through 18, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, or this kind of wisdom, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of good mercy, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What does godly wisdom build its house upon? Well, of course, the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of the wisdom. That's what we read about in 1 Corinthians 3:11. In Colossians 2:3, we read that it's in Christ that are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of godly, heavenly wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. Godly wisdom is attained not just by hearing what God says, but by applying what God says. Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So Jesus says, the rain is going to come, the floods are going to come, the winds are going to blow, there's going to be adversities in life, and you will either respond to them by applying my wisdom to your life, or by ignoring my wisdom. It says here that wisdom has mingled her wine. And wisdom's wine is the Spirit-filled walk. It's the new wine that is spoken of in Ephesians 5:18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's the wine of God, the new wine of God. Wisdom has killed her beasts, furnished her table. There's a meal. There's provision for you and I tonight. Every one of us, it's available. The meal is the wisdom of God that we can partake of. The wisdom that we feed on, the wisdom that we need is the Word of God. And the Bible says about a table in Psalm 23:5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." How we need God's wisdom in this fallen world, don't we? Godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. And once again, we see that wisdom cries out, just like we saw in chapter 8. God's wisdom cries out in public. God's wisdom cries out in private. That's because God's wisdom is meant to be applied and impact both our lives in public and our lives in private. We need the wisdom of God for every area of our life. And he makes it available to us, to you and to me. There's no excuse for us not having the wisdom of God. It's here. It's in Christ. It's in his word. The wisdom of God. A wisdom that is not of this world. A wisdom that is true. A wisdom that doesn't fail. A wisdom that God offers to us. Notice in verse 3, "She hath sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city." Notice, whoso is simple. Now, the word simple means naive or gullible. And wisdom cries out to us because most of us are simply naive. Most of us are simply gullible, aren't we? You see something on Facebook and on news, you know, and somebody shows you something, you go, "Well, it's got to be true. It's on the internet." Many times it's not true. Whoso is simple, let him turn and hear. You see, that's the capacity to choose. "As for her that wanteth understanding or lacks good common sense." God's wisdom is good common sense. "She saith to him," who is naive, To him who lacks understanding or good common sense, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled, forsake or leave the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. And so wisdom cries out to those who are simple. And the implication here is that the vast majority of us are more simple than we think we are. You see, by nature, we think we're wiser than we are. And we're really not. We're actually kind of clueless when it comes to how to live the Christian life in a way that glorifies God. You see, what we need is God's wisdom to define for us how to live, how to make right, holy, godly decisions, common sense, how to use it. See, I never want to read the Bible and assume that when I read about people that are simple or understanding, he's talking about everybody on the planet but me. I would rather be in the position, oh, wow, God, you know me better than I know myself. Yeah, I am pretty simple. Yeah, I am lacking understanding. And he knows it, and you know it, and we know it. So what do we do about it? We listen to God's wisdom, and we, by the grace of God, seek to apply what he tells us. You know, when you look at verses 4 through 6, it's very easy to see the gospel call to come to Christ. Because the gospel call of God to sinners often appears as an invitation to what? A dinner, an invitation to a banquet. Our Lord Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a great supper. And he says, many are invited to come. Remember when he said that in Matthew 22 and in Luke 14? And yet, though the invitation goes out, people make all kinds of excuses. Oh, I don't have time. I'm doing my own thing. That's what the Bible says. Making excuses, even though the wisdom of God is calling out to help us, to guide us. All kinds of excuses are made. Notice the gospel in these verses 4, 5, and 6 says, turn and hear. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, turn, and believe the gospel. It says, come here. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Drink. The prophet Isaiah says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus talked about the living waters that you and I can be drinking of, as opposed to the polluted springs of the wisdom of this fallen world. Forsake. There is a forsaking to walk in wisdom. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets, and they followed him. And then go. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so we see these beautiful parallels, how the heart of the Father is seen in his appeal to sinners to receive of his wisdom. And that wisdom, of course, ultimately is coming to his Son, Jesus Christ. Charles Bridges writes these words, the Puritan author, the blessings of the gospel can never be valued until the path of the foolish is forsaken, until we choose to no longer listen to the wisdom of this world. Now, bear in mind, it's not talking about you can learn how to fix your car from a good mechanic. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. You guys can learn how to fix your car with a good mechanic. I can. I can only make mine go worse. But that's not what we're talking about. The very, very core of what real living is all about. There has to be a forsaking of, well, you know, the experts. When, you know, you talk about something from the Bible and then someone will reply to you, well, they said. Who are they? Who is this august group of people that possesses this wisdom that knows everything about life? Everything about the complexity of marriage, the complexity of raising children. Who are these experts? They're not in the White House. They're not in Congress. Who are these individuals? Well, they don't exist. They don't exist. We either forsake sin or we forsake Christ. And as we'll see at the end of this chapter, when a person decides to forsake Christ, they remain in the congregation of the dead. To forsake the call of the gospel is to forsake Christ, who is the way of understanding. You see, Jesus said, follow me, didn't he? He said, come after me. He said, learn of me. Abide in me. That's the path of wisdom. Verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner. The word scorner there describes someone that is a mocker, an arrogant cynic. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. It literally means invites insults. You ever been mocked for sharing just the wisdom of God? Have you? Well, I just believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, you're older than Noah's Ark. Well, I believe in that too. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. He might get a black eye. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. He's going to hate you for trying to help him. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Now, in verse 7, it refers to the scorner and the wicked man. A scorner is a mocker, a person who expresses extreme contempt or disdain for the things of God. You know what I'm talking about. You're in the company of family or friends, and you're talking about, you know, whatever, just life and how's the family, how's the kids, or you're talking about sports or some other things. And then somehow the subject of God comes up, and you begin to share the Word of God. And then the eyes begin to roll. That's when, almost in concert, everybody then decides, it's time for me to get up and use the bathroom. They don't want to hear it. They simply do not want to hear it. Even though wisdom is crying out to them, they don't want to hear it. Wretched is the person when the wisdom of God is an abomination unto him. I got a text from a fellow pastor not too long ago, and the text said, you are an abomination. I said, what did I do to this guy? And then there was the scripture in the next thread, Proverbs 29:29, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright is an abomination to the wicked. I said, thank you for the text. So I'm looking at a bunch of people. You are an abomination to the wicked, but you're the sweet fragrance of Christ. And I think we need to realize this, because the world we live in is, by and large, not listening to the wisdom of God, making up their own rules, their own standards, their own right and wrong way of defining family or gender or whatever. Pick a topic. Everything's turned upside down now because the wisdom of the world has left God out of the equation, other than him being maybe a concept but not a real living person. We're living in a day and age when people hate those who stand for the uncompromising truth of God's Word. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His
holy, His wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.